Praise the Lord. Would you just tell this band how much you love them as they leave? Love you guys very much.
That was in the key of B minor
sharp.
Demented.
How many of you are new? Well, don't raise your hand yet, because you will in just a second. You've never been to Cowboys Church before. It's an honor to welcome you. It's an honor to have you. We appreciate you for coming, passing many churches possibly to get to this one. And I've always prayed for God to bring people. This church is only right at 18 years old, so it's relatively new. 17? But almost 18. Closer to 17, but attempting to climb towards the 18 number, since I'm getting corrected on the front row. Do it right. And anyway, but sometime in this century, we started this cowboy church, and 21st century, amen. And I always prayed that God would bring people to support. I believe you already have a church that continues to turn new people into born again people. Or older people into newborn again people. So it doesn't matter age wise, but I believe that it's really important that that we have young people to carry on the legacies, the teachings, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that when I leave this earth, if the Lord doesn't come back while I'm still living, which will be amazing if he doesn't. Just the things that are going on today, he could come back at any time. Did y'all hear that crazy? Just that. Which one? Yeah. Well, I got sent from some ministers about how Nike has just developed a shoe to support Satan. Can y'all believe that? Yeah, they're only selling 666. It has a scripture on the shoe itself of John 10 and 13 or something. I can't remember the scripture. But it's the scripture that got Satan kicked out of heaven. They're going to sell it with the pentagram on top of the shoe. Again, they have a saying. What was that, Joni, that it said that they would rather live in heaven forever than to serve, to be a servant in heaven. They would rather live in hell than to serve in heaven. And anyway, it's just a idiotic thing. It's sick. And so that's why we're here this morning. And I pray that God would send young people to continue the teaching of the Word of God. Then the older group is the mature, the ones that we need that stability. And so for people to come to a church that's 4.5 miles from town, I live just in the Oatmeal area in Bertram, 5 miles this side of Bertram, and people come from that area in Marble Falls, and then lots come from the Austin, Leander, Cedar Park area, and then tons come from Georgetown. And it's amazing how far people drive, and they pass a lot of churches. And so y'all that are brand new this morning, it's an honor to have you. And what we want to do, hopefully you got a visitor packet when you came in, and they almost gave me one. But If you got a visitor packet, inside that packet is a visitor card and a pen. I hope you'll fill it out real fast. But we want to welcome you. So if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, just right where you're at, would you just raise your hand, let us wave at us, let us see you and clap for you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Appreciate y'all. Anybody else? Amen. It's amazing. I come back after being gone a week or two, and there's so many new faces. And that's the way it always has been. We probably have 800 members of this church, and if they all came at the same time, there would be that many in a service here. Now, next week, with our Easter service, you come, we're gonna fill this place up. It will be the largest service of the year, but do not miss it. If I was you, I'd come a little early. And we're going to get extra chairs if we need to, and it's going to be a glorious time. Amen? All right. Clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. If you have a Bible, and the reason that I, for the new people, sometimes our ministers here don't say, but if you are new, the reason that I do what I do right now, which is to teach, and I do it every single service, and I've instructed our ministers here to do the same thing, to teach for just a short time on giving, on tithes and offerings, because number one, the Lord told me when I started this church 17 years ago to not take a salary, just to operate by love offering. If people want to give to us, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. And most of y'all know, because I've said it so many times, that some of the people that were there in the beginning were like, wow, how are you going to make it? I mean, because this is our living. This is, you know, I don't have another job. I'm constantly out there ministering. And then, praise the Lord, being a leader of this church. And it was real simple, because I just responded back, God is my provider. And since He's my provider and He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, His streets are gold, I'm pretty sure He's a big enough God that will provide for me and my wife and our living. And He has richly. I mean, and I don't have to do gimmicks. I don't have to beg. I don't have to do little things to try to persuade people to give to me and my wife. They just do. And they believe in what we do. They believe when I travel, that seed that's sown into our ministry, it's used in a wonderful way to spread the gospel. Because it's expensive. And that's the reason I still travel. And people sometimes get mad. I've had people leave this church because their pastor will leave for a week or two, or in the summer sometimes for a month. It's starting to get to where I can fly back, and but the reason that I do it is because no one else will. It's expensive to go out there with fuel prices and the way you have to travel and stay for a period of time. So God has to be the provider. So I get to teach for a short time about giving. There's four ways to give. You tithe, number one, that's 10%. And it's not that God needs your money. Listen to me. He just needs your obedience. There's the offering. Man, I live by the offering too. Because the Bible says when you give, He'll give it back 30, 60, or 100 fold based on your faith. Well, you know what my faith is, right? I thank God for 30-fold, but I'd rather have the 100. Okay? That's how you and I should start living, if you'll start opening up this Bible. By the way, y'all can say it with me. I've studied this Bible and found out that 2,036 times it talks about finances in the Bible. Growing up, though, our preachers would never say anything about that M word, money. Because it might split the church. Do you realize that the majority of my counseling sessions, always the root always is back to finances? You want to talk about ruin some marriages? Just have financial trouble. One of them spending it too much, or we don't have enough. We can't ever do what we want to do. We can't go on a vacation because, you know, we can't fix the truck. The tires just blew out. They're getting old, you know, and it goes on and on. And so here's how you need to operate. Malachi chapter 3. Now, I realize that this is the Old Testament, but listen to me. There is some great things that teaches us a lot in the Old Testament. But listen to me carefully. I pastor a lot of pastors. I mean, a lot, hundreds. And sometimes when I say this, and I've said this in this church before, it kind of ruffles their feathers in a lot of ways. Because religiously, they've been taught that, you know, tithing needs to be like law. And I just have a different way of believing. The tithing should not be law because we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So you don't have to tithe by law, but then I have to go on to help them pick themselves off the floor because what if people stop tithing? Well, then your provider then becomes the people instead of God. You don't tithe because it's a law. You tithe because you want to operate into the kingdom of God through sowing and reaping. You've got to get into that kingdom. So Malachi, when it says in verse 10, to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And don't get me wrong here. I asked a minister in Leveland, Texas about 25 years ago, where's the storehouse? Well, it's the church. But it could be a minister that's ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what does the tithe pay usually at a church? The minister, his salary, if he takes one, and other ministers, youth pastors, and so on. Look at what it says, though, here. Bring it into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And then he says this, prove me. Now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, there's four words right there that you could actually cross out if you wanted to because they're italicized in most Bibles. That means they were added in there just for, you know, trying to help people understand it. But really, it could read, and pour you out a blessing that not be enough to it. Which means if you just simply trust God, He will cause the barn to be full, that there's not enough where you could put the stuff anymore. Okay, listen to me real fast before you give. Giving is, I wrote this down, is God's way of introducing us into the flow of sowing and reaping. When you give, and you give to the Lord through a tithe, through an offering, the third thing is through first fruits. First fruits, y'all know what that is? It's kind of like I bought say 10 cows. I bred them. The very first calf that hit the ground was my first fruit, and I gave that first calf. That's first fruits. So it could be anything. If you got let's say someone is working and they make a certain amount and they got a raise. Well, whatever the raise was that first month, I would be sowing that because it'd just keep a pot. See, there's a lot to this giving. The thing is money usually controls us instead of us controlling it. And the fourth thing is alms. Alms is given to the needy, widows. I mean, boy, I search out. That's why we bless my mother, because my dad's gone, and she needs help. So it's an honor to bless my mom, a widow. You know, and there's probably some in here who you need to recognize that. Bless them. So giving is the source of us, the introduction of us getting into the flow of sowing and reaping. Amen. Not because God commands you to tithe? No. Start tithing because you want to enter into the flow of sowing and reaping. If you give, this is Luke 6 and 33. If you give it, think about that. Whatever you give. Some people say, well, I'll just tithe my time. I don't have money, but I got time. That's not the tithe. You'll get time back, but you won't get into the flow of finances. So what you give, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you in your bosom. Amen. So come give in this bucket and this. And if you're a visitor and you have a card, if you don't mind, send it with someone, or come give. Just allows us to have a record that you came. So y'all come give with a big old shout of praise. Are we going to have a special? All right, come set it up. Praise the Lord. You need some help, my brother. The kiddos are going to sing.
I'm living for you.
All right. Old Palm Sunday.
This is our children. Marching to Hosanna. And I didn't know what Hosanna meant for a long time. Y'all go on around. Go on around. Go on around. Hosanna means God saves. Bring salvation. Y'all, hold your hands out to these children. This is our generation. This is God's chosen generation. And I'm so thankful that they're willing to do this morning in honor of the Lord. Say Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, Lord, today for these children. We thank you, Lord, for salvation, that you brought salvation to us. We thank you, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing the song John 3:16. And if you know this song, sing it with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen.
Son of God, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. John 3:16. For God so
Amen.
Nice. Ooh, Jesus. Man, I love that. It was that bell that did it. Look, the kids are already gone. I need to dismiss them. I mean, they're binoculars. All right, youth group, honored that you're able to go with each other in our kids' church. Y'all are dismissed with a big old round of applause out the back end. Man, I love it. We have like thousands of kids that go to this church and only 20 of them got up here. They're like, I ain't singing, man. I love watching kids because most of them get up here. They wave at granddad and mom and dad. And some look for bugs. Some just stand there like, I don't know what to do. Love it, love it. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for just all the things that you're doing in this church with children's ministry, with our youth group, and with our Bible study, and just all the things that are going on in this church. We praise you. We again rebuke, y'all be in agreement here, we rebuke the devil that brought in a virus to try to destroy this land. We come against it. We won't stand for it. You will pay, devil. Open your eyes. Don't. When you talk to the devil, don't ever bow. Okay? And I know we was talking to the Lord, but then the minute you talk to the devil, you open those eyes, because we don't bow to no devil. Amen? So devil, your assignments, they won't work with God's people. In Jesus' name. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time this morning in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen? How many of you brought a Bible? I'm going to set up a message that will set up next week's message. It's going to be good. Don't miss next week. I know a lot of people travel, but hopefully families are coming here and come and be a part. Now listen to me. We do an Easter egg hunt, but we don't celebrate a bunny. Y'all understand that? I just think it's we want to reach all people. And so it's okay to let them hunt an egg with a $5 bill in it, because I mean, I'm going to be out there trying to find it. You know, I'm kidding. I'm not. But what you do though, in the midst of even opening presents or talking about a Santa Claus, we don't worship them in any way. We don't worship an Easter egg or a bunny. We worship the one that was resurrected, where all the power comes from. But we're going to let kids have fun. And if not, they're going to go somewhere else to learn about a bunny. And let's teach them about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to set up the message today. And I think it's fitting, because I've been talking for a whole year now on the end times, how it's time that we all get ready, because and look up, because our redemption draws nigh. It's time that we understand that the trump could sound at any time. I mean, when they're taking Mr. Potato Head away in books, and Dr. Seuss, and then they're glorifying, you know, a shoe that is dedicated to supporting satanic things, then this country is very ripe for the return of the Lord. And you need to be ready. That should not scare not one person, because if it does, then you need to check out your salvation. Now, I'm not talking about children, because a lot of times even my teenage daughter, or, you know, that's in college now, and my son that's now a teenager, I mean, it's obvious that they're going to immediately think, wait, I don't want the Lord to come yet, because I haven't gotten married, have had children, haven't done this or I haven't done that. And that's a natural thing. But if it scares an old believer, then something's wrong, and we just got to, you know, readjust and get some confidence back into the body. And confidence has been stolen from a lot of people. It's been stolen in marriages. It's been stolen in our health. And when we lose confidence, then you lose a lot of strength. Lots of times God talked about joy and how the joy of the Lord produces strength, which simply means that if you lose your joy, you're going to lose strength. And we need to be strong and mighty in these days. So what we do, or what we should do, is we should start living in this Bible, living by the Word of God, so that when bad things do happen to us, when the enemy does attack marriages, when they try to get us in loneliness and all the things that happen with bad things happening to us, then we can overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. We can overcome them by just simply turning back to the Word of God. Because we live in a world that is trying to get us pushed away from the Word. It's trying to get us so worldly that we tend to sometimes look like the world. Instead of being a people who are, again, that we talked about earlier, are set apart. And you want to be the one that's set apart. You want to be the ones that they know you're a born-again believer in Jesus. Because there's going to be a lot of people in these last days before the Lord Jesus comes back that's going to be turning to people who have some stability, who have some power, praise God. Not Batman power, not Superman power. I'm talking about the power to overcome darkness. And you and I have that power. His name is Jesus. Okay. You started getting excited there. In your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. Now, some of you that are spirit-filled, you may be ready to and shouting right here. If you're not spirit-filled, you need to start thinking about that. Because that's where the power comes. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, and I'm not doing a message on tongues, and I'm not doing a message on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not doing those kind of messages right now, but this is an insert that I need to tell you that you need to start thinking about it, because that's what gives you the power. You go back to Acts chapter 1, and it starts talking about two baptisms, the baptism of water. That's when you give your life to Jesus. The first act of obedience, and I'm surprised that a lot of people have never been baptized and they've been saved for a while. Thank God, last time I was here, a whole family got baptized. Amen. Well, baptism, though, is the first act of obedience of the death burial of the old you, the before Christ. And then when you come out of the water like Jesus did, I just got like to do it like Jesus did. I mean, we can spit on you and sprinkle you all you want, but I don't want any dry spots. I've messed around with some, and did y'all see that thing jump out at me? I've messed around with some and baptized them twice. When they come out, the death, burial, and resurrection, I just felt like I needed to go again. It almost drowns them when you go because... but then the Bible talks about that second baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Man, don't fight that. I was raised a little Southern Baptist boy, so we didn't ever hear about this stuff. Matter of fact, our pastor sometimes taught that tongues was of the devil. Oh, really? Don't make any sense. You know why they said that. And all my pastor friends that are a denomination that don't teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost like spirit-filled people do, will simply tell you, if they're being honest, that they just don't understand it. They've never dug into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because when you speak in tongues, it's a language that you don't understand. Only God does. So when we can't... That's why that scientist, what is that church, the science church, Scientology. That's why they come about, because they want everything proven before they believe it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not how we operate in faith. In faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you've got to believe in a God that you cannot see. We can see the results of God everywhere. We can see us as His creation, but we can't see God the Father. Is there really a heaven? We're going to be talking about that next week. We're going to be talking about, I think there's about 7 wonders of heaven. And it's going to be an appropriate message for the times that we're living in. And I'm going to have an audience that some of them only come once a year to church. And we're going to talk about heaven. But before we do that, I want to introduce a message to you, Acts chapter 2. And I ain't got a clue what the title will be. Y'all just make up a title, okay? After you hear it. Verse 17, tell me with an amen that you're at Acts chapter 2. Verse 17, and it shall. I like that word. I'd underline that if it was me, because that's a definite thing, man. Anytime the Bible says it shall, it's going to come to pass. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, let me stop right there, because you need to understand right now that if you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, and if you're not, you're going to get saved today. There's no reason for you not to be born again. There's no reason for you not to know where you're going when you leave this earth, when you leave this fleshly body. The fleshly body is not going to be going to heaven or hell, but your spirit will. The sad part about hell, if you study it out, is you'll still have your 5 physical senses, even in the spirit. You'll still have a corruptible body, of course, but all of us won't have a corruptible body. We'll have a incorruptible body. Praise the Lord, that won't ever get sick or anything. But you need to know where you're going when you leave this earth. I've told people that's tried to debate me that there's not a God. It's very simple to get them to thinking in a different way, because it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in God that created the heavens and the earth, that made the sun the exact distance, and y'all have heard me say this before, from the earth so we wouldn't burn up, and the moon so that we wouldn't freeze. And then how He created this body. It takes a lot more faith to believe in the opposite of that than it does to believe in a God that created us. Because you're telling me that a big bang or evolution just evolved into what we are today without something creating it? And so they get to thinking, maybe there is a God. And all that is a seed. You just plant the seed. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to germinate that seed, and it'll produce hopefully salvation sometime. I mean, they're going to have to really reject God to not give their hearts to Him. But we're going to be talking about the wonders of the Lord. Okay, but if you're born again, here in 17... it's saying it's going to come to pass that in the last days, and let's just all agree, do you believe we're in the last days? I mean, it doesn't take a scientist to really understand that the prophets of this Bible and the prophecies, they've almost all come to pass. We've already talked about that 1,000-year reign, and most preachers have never even mentioned in a church that after the 7-year tribulation, we're coming back for 1,000-year reign on this earth to live here without sin. That's going to be a joyful time. So anyway, you ought to read the Bible. It's a cool book. It's got a lot of stuff in here that people don't get taught. But right now, the doors have been opened to start teaching about some of this stuff, because of some of the things we've seen. What have we seen? We've seen a pandemic come that shut our whole nation down. And it shut down the whole world pretty much. Our economies. Matter of fact, it shut down churches. Remember? Tried to. It didn't this one. That's why this one has grown so much, because we were really the only church. There was a couple in our area that, matter of fact, there's still churches in Austin that are still not meeting in person. So can you imagine the joy, if there's such a thing for the devil, the joy that he's having by keeping churches shut down, keeping people offended, upset, church hopping. I'm here to tell you, church hopping is not from God either. You got to plant somewhere and not be offended when things don't go perfect. We live in a world, but we don't live of the world. So living in it, some things just happen. And we sometimes have to say, forgive us. We repent. Let's not do that. You know. But check this out. In the last days, God's saying, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Not just some. All flesh. All you've got to do is have a receiver ready. When God pours out His Spirit on you, you need to receive it. So right now, you need to decide, I want that. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, you want God pouring out His Spirit on you. You want His Spirit poured out on you to have the confidence to not allow a doctor to be your final report when he says you're dying of cancer. No, God, on the other hand, is saying, no, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, you're healed. I want to share mighty wonderful things to you if you would just have your receivers where you can receive it. But most people don't think they're worthy to receive God's pouring. They think because of what they've done, or they haven't prayed enough, or they haven't talked to God enough, or they haven't read enough scripture, that they're not worthy for God to pour out His Spirit on them. They need to maybe go to confession a little bit more. Or they need to spend a lot more time. They need to ask God to forgive them for all the stuff they've done over all the years. When in all reality, God just wants to pour out His Spirit on someone who would dare to receive it. And my friend, that's you. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Girl, I'm talking to you. Because God wants you to know that you don't have to live by what's happened back when. You know, you need to press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm talking about young and old. No matter where you came from, just having a sense that you are worthy because Jesus is the Lord of your life. So he's saying here, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then it says this, and your sons and your daughters, by the way, well, no, I better not say that. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Do you realize there's people that don't believe in one of the fivefold? Some are thinking, well, I don't know any of the fivefold. What is that? The fivefold in the ministry is a pastor. It's found in Ephesians. A teacher. An apostle. A prophet. And an evangelist. So let's say it again. A pastor. A prophet. A teacher. An apostle. And an evangelist. That's the fivefold. They should operate in every church, but yet an evangelist is not supposed to stay in the church. And I know we're the church, but I'm talking about an organized church like Williamson County Cowboy Church or First Church of whatever. An evangelist is supposed to be out there. Now, yes, that's why I'm still out there a lot, because I operate very evangelistic in this church even. A lot of people get saved here. It's amazing. Growing up, if we had 5 or 10 get saved the whole year, we brought them up. We let everybody know, hey, 10 people got saved this year. And the church would, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We sometimes have that on one given Sunday. So it's very evangelistic, and I understand that. But the evangelist should not stay here only. Now, you have to understand, I believe, and just my spiritual leaders, y'all can testify to this or not, doesn't matter to me. But I believe I operate very apostolic. I've started a lot of churches. This is not the church, first church I've started. It's kind of like the apostle Paul. He started a lot of works, and so I do too. And that's why I believe that you can still pastor a church as really a strong evangelist. I mean, they do it all the time. They pastor a church as a teacher. You ever seen a pastor that he's just very good at teaching the Word of God? Well, they can pastor, you know. So, but I think that all of the fivefold should be in there, but a lot of people don't believe in one of them, which is the prophet. Matter of fact, they don't believe the prophet is still here. Now, we have a we do, by the way. And we have a prophet that comes here and speaks the Word of God. He'll get a guitar out. I love the guy. And he'll sing a song to someone prophetically. I mean, it is amazing. And at the first, when I first met him, I'm beside him, because you know how a pastor is. I'm going to check him out. I want him to speak from God and not, you know, his own rhymes. I want to make sure he's speaking what the Bible talks about, prophecy, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. And so I was listening, and I'm telling you, y'all that have heard him, man, just a wonderful, mighty man of God. So there's still the fold of prophecy. But look at here. The Bible is saying in the last days, God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. He goes on to say in verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. How about that? We're not going to talk about the next one until next week, about the wonders of heaven. But we need to talk just for a second about God using you in some of these ways. Because we're in the last days, and we've all raised our hand and agree to that, right? We believe because of the things that are going on, a pandemic, you know, all the things that are happening today. I believe we're in the last days. And Jesus could come anytime. So why wouldn't you want to see some of these mighty things and see the Spirit of God poured out in your life? Why wouldn't you want to see that? You know, someone, when we prayed for them the other day, and sometimes when I'm praying, the Spirit of God will tell me, hey, we need to deal with some different things. And He'll call out shoulders and necks and arthritis and joint issues and heart issues and things like that. Headaches. I mean, we've had testimonies of headaches being removed from people. They are healed by the power of God that had them since the war. And God's healed them. And so we're starting to see the power of God move in this church like we've never seen. And I mean, faith is just starting to come forth in Jesus' name. And I mean, people are getting excited about seeing the power of God. Now, that's not what we want to focus on primarily. We want to focus on Jesus. But we also want to see the power of God demonstrated. I want to see that this isn't something that we're just doing on a Sunday to feel better to get through the week. No, I want to see the power of God move in our lives. And this is not a joke to you and I. This is something powerful that God can do in a life. of a believer where they literally see the manifestations of what they've been believing for, whatever that might be. And it's time we stop playing church. We start seeing these things. So is anybody sick in here? Because if you're sick, you need to be healed. Really, you're already healed if you just receive what Jesus has already done. Okay? All right, so in the last days, God's pouring out His Spirit, and people are going to prophesy, and they're going to dream. What is prophecy? All prophecy is telling forth the divine counsels. In other words, it's revelation from God. Prophecy is communication from God to humans. That's you and I. Prophecy, and you have to understand this, prophecy is always, always, always building up, edification, exhortation. Prophecy is never supposed to be doom and gloom. There are false prophets coming to, you know, teach a false doctrine of this Bible. We've seen that in Waco, right? Koresh was the guy's name that declared that he was Jesus. He was wrong. Bad mistake. No. Yeah, so we're talking, there are false prophets, and a lot of times we can get it wrong. So if anybody says they've got a word for you, and it's happened, many times there's people in this church that say, hey, I just feel like I have a word for you. Give it to me. But one thing that I do test is, does it edify? I've told y'all that story of a woman that came up to me at Trinity Fellowship in San Angelo, Texas, years ago, 25 plus years ago. And she said, I've got a word for you. I said, praise the Lord, let me have it. She said, I see you in, I believe, Michigan. I said, yo mama, I like the South. But I listened. I didn't really say that, but I listened. I was thinking to myself, that's cold. Oh. Then she goes, no, not Michigan, Wisconsin. Is it worse? I don't know. I've never been there. No, I take that back. I have. Okay, what if, and I'm not saying that was not edifying in exhortation, but what if I would have moved to Wisconsin? But you know what happened? A few years later, I was asked to do a very large rodeo church service in Spooner, Wisconsin. She was right. But another time, a lady came to a friend of mine and said, I've got a word for you. She said, all right, praise the Lord, I want to hear it. The first thing out of her mouth was, the Lord told me to tell you, you're fixing to go bankrupt. Okay, does that sound like it's edifying? Okay, so sometimes there in prophecy, there are, you know, fleshly things that are said, or there could be false prophets. A prophecy should always be edifying, exhortation, and building up. Okay, so if in these last days God's wanting the Spirit to be poured out on all flesh and people are going to prophesy, you need to be ready for that. But just do it right. Start building people up. If the Lord He just may say, go up to a couple and say, hey, I just wanted to tell you Jesus loves you. That's prophetic, guys. And that's building up. Okay? Real fast, though. So there's that. There's prophecy. But did you notice it also says dreams? It talks about dreams. A dream, I'm beginning to study this out, needs to be divinely suggested. Old Testament used dreams. The New Testament used dreams. God used dreams and visions to reveal His plan, to further His plan. Example is found in Genesis. Remember when God used the vision to reveal His plan, reminding at the time Abram, before God changed his name to Abraham, that he would have a son and be the father of many nations. That came in a dream, see. In Luke chapter 1 in the New Testament, verse 5, you can read it all the way through 23. God used a vision to tell Zacharias that he would soon have an important son. Not long after that, when he had this vision, is when he and his wife Elizabeth had John the Baptist. So there's something about even dreams. Now, sometimes people have bad dreams. Depends on what you watch, what you're listening to. I'm not very good at it, but I try to read the Word before I go to bed. It just seems like when I read the second word, the Bible is on my chest and I'm asleep. That's just how I am. My wife seems to be ticked off at times because I can fall asleep quickly and she's still up thinking about children or whatever. There's something about, though, having dreams and visions of the Lord. And when you do that, you need to tell people. When they're of the Lord, you need to shout it out, praise God. So there's something about in the last days, the Spirit of God pouring out His Spirit on all of us and allowing us to prophesy and to dream dreams and have visions. How many of you wants that to be you? Come on. Man, you want God to be speaking to you because He may be just speaking a quick revelation of maybe some direction in your life. And I don't know about y'all, but we need that. We need to know what direction God wants us to go in. I never would have thought in these days that a pastor would own an insurance company, Harvest Ranch Insurance in Liberty Hill. I'd have never known I'd have bought that thing. I'd have never known that I'm about to build some RV storage just right down the road in a little property that I bought two houses down from here. I never would have dreamed that I would be called to minister to a lot of ministers. I'd have never dreamed this had I not been in the will of God. Had I not been seeking God's kingdom. I'd have never known what God had for me if I hadn't have stopped for just a moment and sought God on the direction of my life. But thank God I did. Because there's a lot of people still doing this, trying to figure out where there's to go. When all you should do is, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand until God says to go. But I'm here to tell you, in these days, God's saying, go. He's saying to go. He's saying to go and get my people born again. He's saying the harvest is ripe. And we're going to see a lot of salvations next week, y'all. But I want you to know that you need to be the vessels that God pours His Spirit out on. Yes, you might have to submit to Him. Wouldn't that be okay? And resist the devil. It might be where you need to allow God to open up the doors that you have never allowed Him into. And maybe cause you to be delivered from some of the snares of that fowler, of that enemy that's trying to keep you down, busted, disgusted, upset constantly. You may be the person that, yeah, needs to say, I have dominion over sin. And sin will not control me, not another day in my life. Because you have that power. You've got to be that vessel, y'all, that God can pour out His Spirit in. I'm not saying be self-righteous. I'm not saying being holier than thou. I'm not saying being a goody two-shoe. I'm saying being a vessel for God to pour out His Spirit on so that you can be the head and not the tail. So that you can be above and not beneath all the junk that's going on in this world. So that you can be the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Come on. So that you can literally declare, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So that you can be the one that prophesies edification and exhortation and not doom and gloom. You know, Grandmama, this is what people say, Grandmama had breast cancer, so I guess it's going down the line and I need to start checking myself because I'm sure that I'm going to have breast cancer because Grandmama had it and Mama had it. You know what you should do rather than that? You ought to start saying, I break every generational curse. And I am healed by the power of God and I live in divine health in nothing other than that. What's wrong with us seeing the demonstrations of the Spirit of God being poured out? You hear that, kid? That's a varmint call. I saw some of the ushers get their guns ready. Could be a bobcat coming anytime. That's a good segue into keeping your eyes on Jesus. Not getting eat up by the bobcat. I don't know, it kind of works, but... All right, listen to me. I just say today, let's let the Spirit of God flow. Amen. Let's let it flow. Don't get upset. Don't live in offense. But live by the pouring of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning that we can just come have fun. I cannot wait to see the salvations of the people today and next week and so on. But Father, a lot of us are born again people. And we want to see the pouring of the Spirit on us. Matter of fact, it's already happening. And a lot of us, the Spirit of God is pouring right now. There's people in here right now in Jesus' name that are feeling like that tingling, that the goosebumps, that the Spirit of God is all over. If that's you, let God do whatever He needs to do in your life right now. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. God, move in Jesus' name. Play me just a little music, Mike. Father, also, if there's people in here that's never given their lives to You, I ask You to draw them to You in Jesus' name. If you're not born again, I want you to be. As we talked about earlier, there's really no reason for you to be waiting. You want to talk about having fun? You can have a lot of fun serving God. The problem is you think fun has to be one way, and it's kind of a warping of the ways of the world. And you don't have to live that way any longer. Man, you can have a great time in Jesus. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray it out loud. I love it when Romans says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So that means out loud where your ears can hear it. And then believe that God raised Him from the dead. The Word says you'll be saved. In the King James it says thou. Thou shalt be saved. And thou is all of us that have received Jesus. You'll be saved if you'll just invite Him in. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. If you are here or watching and you've never given your heart to the Lord, I want you to do it right now. If you have given your life to the Lord and you're watching, I mean, honored that people from Montana and California all the way to Florida, all the southern, lots of southern states watch us. But I want you to pray the prayer as well. And the reason I have you do it, if you don't know, the same with you guys here in the congregation. Even if you're saved, the reason I have everybody pray this prayer, even believers, is because you've got to learn this prayer. because even on Easter, not everybody's going to be coming to church. But you're going to come in contact. And that's one way that God pours out His Spirit on all flesh, is He gives you the power to go and lead someone to Jesus that's, you know, just rebelling, maybe. Maybe no one's ever even told them about Jesus, or they're just scared to sit down thinking that they'll get persecuted. No, no, forget all that. Matthew says that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So it's not that we want to be persecuted, but praise God, we're not afraid of it. But if you're here or you're watching and you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know if you go to heaven when you die or if you'd go to hell. Maybe you hadn't thought about it. I'm asking you to think about it right now. So I'm going to have you pray this prayer. If you've never given your life to Jesus, do it now. Give your life to Jesus by simply praying this prayer with all of us. Y'all ready? Let's pray it just like this. Out of your mouth, let's say this. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I need you in my life. I believe you've been raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, for being my friend, for being my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, real fast, if you just prayed that simple prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life, not a church, not a denomination, you asked Jesus to come in. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to be afraid. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you because heads are bowed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, you be bold. You be bold enough to raise that hand up, because what you're doing by raising it up is you're saying, God, I meant that prayer. And then just put your hand back down. That's all I want you to do. Jesus says this: if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Don't ever be ashamed of Jesus being your Lord, even if people think you is already saved. If you gave your life to Jesus, at the count of three, get that hand up, put it right back down. Ready? One, with boldness. One, two, three, go. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Honored. Glory be to God. Thank you. They're just going to hand you a Bible. Just keep your head bowed. I'm very proud. Glory be to God. Anybody else? If I didn't see it, those three, just raise that hand up. Don't be ashamed. And say, hey, I just prayed that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus. And then just put it right back down. Anybody else? Hallelujah. All right, look at me. Praise God for three. Amen. To the glory of God. Every time. I'm serious, guys. Something is happening right here. Gosh. There's churches down the road that don't see this. But then again, there's churches that are seeing it if they just receive. Ooh. The pouring of the Spirit. Amen. Thanks for coming this morning. Visitors, appreciate you guys. Honored to have you. If you don't have a church home, I pray that this could be it. If not, I pray you find a good Bible-believing church. Y'all that are coming back for Easter service next week, it's going to be an honor. We're going to have a great time. Please come a little bit earlier. Bring your children. It's going to be a blast. Don't forget the rodeo. It's only in 3 weeks. Next week's Easter. The following Sunday for all my volunteers is when I'll have a volunteer meeting. It'll be on the 11th. Don't miss that, because that's when pretty much everything's already organized. The people in the ticketing areas, I think, are tended to. I think our group has everything lined up in the parking. That's a big, big deal, because there's going to be lots of people. This rodeo has turned into one of the largest in this area. Austin is a very large rodeo, so we don't come close to that, but thousands will be here over 4 days. Starting in April the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, I believe. Is that right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we have posters available back there. But as you can tell, everybody look back and just see the poster real fast. That's Mike McCloskey. Y'all see him? He's the one that's in charge of our sponsorship. In order to get the best in the world here for an open rodeo and then a professional steer roping, is we add money. So we add almost $30,000. And thank God for the city. They gave us $20,000 to help in that. But everything else we have to raise. And we don't want to just barely raise just a little bit, because we spent almost $10,000 on some arena needs this year. So a lot of that's what it goes for. But we also give six $1,000 scholarships away to our community. And we want this rodeo to continue to grow. There'll be a carnival, of course. And so lots and lots of people. So I'll have a volunteer meeting. The concession stand is huge during this event. And if we have enough people, it won't just be a big burden to just a few. So we need a lot. I also need a little bit of help in the arena. I believe just some certain spots of pushing cattle up. If you help in the arena, you have to have a hat, long sleeve shirt, etc. on. It's, rodeo gear. Other than that, if you need sponsorship, or you want to see a poster, or you want to help us put some out, then see Mike. There's a little table right there as you leave. If you want to give a or have a banner, put in the arena, then there's that. There's some event sponsors. But we need a banners. If you're a banner sponsor, we need to start bringing the banners. Heidi checked the messages I wrote. There's messages that were over a week old that are trying to give a banner last week. There's just different things we need to check those messages, and I wrote them down. Different people wanting to be a vendor sponsor. And so on. And so we have posters, we have sponsorship. We're going to have a good time. Amen? Again, volunteer meeting will be on the 11th. That's that Sunday right after the service. We'll get really organized in some of that. Amen? All right. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Love you guys very much. I'm going to go to Levelland, Texas. Tonight, be there tomorrow, and then come back. We have a funeral on Tuesday of a great man that went to heaven a few days ago. And so, anyway, y'all be praying for us. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great time in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for those three that gave their lives to you. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, that next Sunday is just another celebration. We do the same thing today. We're going to celebrate your resurrection. Ooh, thank God. You're not dead, you're alive. So, Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the new people coming, for the new ones that are starting to plant in this church. Won't be long till we'll have a good time to let people join our church, maybe after Easter. But, Father, just thank you for all you're doing here. As we now say, you don't stay here. The Word of God says you never leave us. You never forsake us. So you get to go with us right now in all the things that we do outside of this church. So we just thank you, Lord, that we're going to be prosperous and blessed and happy and all the things until we come back for Tuesday's Bible study at 6:30 or next Sunday's service. It's an honor to call you God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.